Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 6. And this will be the last time you hear me say that. You've heard me for the past at least 8 weeks say open to Ephesians 6, all right? And this will be the last time you'll hear me say open up to Ephesians, because we are finally coming to the end of our Ephesians series today. This series, believe it or not, it started all the way back in October. And you're like, wait, didn't this church just start in January? Yes, it just started in January, but back at our church that we were planted out of in West Salem, we started the series in Ephesians back in October. We did chapters 1, 2, and 3 pretty much up through Christmas in the first part of January. And then as we launched our church, we were heading into Ephesians 4 and the unity of the body of Christ, and I thought, this is exactly perfect for us planting a church. And so we just decided to take and flow with it. And so over the last next week will be 6 months since we started this church. And so for the last 6 months, we've been walking through Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. And it's been a great time together. And it's interesting for me, because when I was a youth pastor, I did many series. I did many series walking through different things. But I never, ever have done a series where you walk through the Bible verse by verse. And it's been kind of fun, you know. It's been fun walking through it and studying and allowing God to speak to us. And I've been learning so much along the way. And I hope that I'm not the only one that's been learning. You know, maybe that's the whole reason this church is here, is for me, for God to speak to me and to learn. But I believe that God's speaking to all of us, and that we've been learning from Him. And so it's been an amazing journey walking through Ephesians. And if you've been with us, you know that over the last 7 weeks, this will be the 8th week, we've been going through a series titled Preparing for Battle, as we've been talking about the armor of God. And each week we've been looking at the different pieces of armor that Paul talked about that God has given us to fight in the spiritual battle that we're in. We've talked about the belt of truth and the importance of knowing His truth so the enemy can't deceive us. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness and the importance of walking in His righteousness so the enemy has nothing to hold over our head. We've talked about the gospel, the shoes of the gospel, and how the gospel it prepares us, how it protects us, how it plants us in His foundation, and how it helps us persevere, and how all these things bring peace in the midst of the battle. We've talked about the shield of faith and how it should be our first line of defense, and when we use it properly, how it enables us to, or it protects us, I should say, protects us against the enemy's attacks, how it extinguishes the fiery arrows, and how it helps us even at times push back the enemy. And we've talked about the helmet of salvation and how it enables us to move ahead in that confidence and that assurance. It's that hope that we talked about, right? Not the wishy-wash hope, but that hope that's that confidence and assurance of the life we have in Christ. And then last week we talked about the sword of the Spirit, and which is the Word of God, and how we can use the Word of God as an offensive weapon to come against the enemy. And this morning we're going to finish our series as we look at one of the last things that Paul says here in the book of Ephesians. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me here. Again, we're just going to continue to read as we have the last few weeks out of Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. And this is what it says. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." As Paul finishes talking about the armor of God, he ends here by telling us to pray. Now, he doesn't relate prayer to the armor in any way here, and I don't exactly know why. Maybe there just wasn't a good analogy there for him. I don't know. But I think it's safe to say that prayer is still a powerful weapon that we can use against the enemy. That prayer is vital in this spiritual battle that we face, especially when it's used in the right way. You see, prayer is another one of those topics. We've come across these all throughout Ephesians. But it's another one of those topics that we could just stop and do a series on, you know, for a long time. And I think even when we got done to the series, we still wouldn't fully touch on all the aspects of prayer. We wouldn't know everything. You see, I'm constantly learning myself more and more about prayer. But this morning I want to focus on what Paul says here about prayer, and prayer in the context of the spiritual battle. As I studied these scriptures, as I looked at verse 18, and as I looked through commentaries and really seeking, what does God want to say to us this morning? I found that there were three things that we need to know about prayer. Three things that we can learn from Paul here and from the context of the spiritual battle about prayer. And the first is this, is we have to learn that prayer must be constant. Prayer must be constant. It says there in verse 18, pray on all occasions. And it says always, keep on praying. We see that in that section. Pray on all occasions. Continue to pray. You see, sometimes our tendency is to pray in times of crisis, right? Or when we need something, that's when we pray. But if things are going well, if everything's good in life, right, then prayer may not be the first thing on our minds. But Paul knows that it's from daily prayer, from continuing to seek the Lord, continuing to pray to Him, that we find the strength to make it through each day, that we find the strength to live the life that God's called us to live. It's that constant union in prayer and time with the Lord. I want to read to you out of John 15, verses 5 through 8. You can turn there if you want. But John 15, 5 through 8, I think is a great example of what can happen when we pray continuously, when prayer is constant. John 15, 5 through 8 says this. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to my disciples. The relationship that Jesus is talking about in these scriptures happens through continuous prayer, abiding in Him and Him in us. You see, God's desire is to have a close personal relationship with us. He wants us to have a close personal relationship with Him. And we all know that it's pretty hard to have a close relationship with someone if you never talk to them, right? Or if you only talk to them occasionally. How many of you want to be one of those friends that your friend only calls you when they need something? They only talk to you from time to time, and then they want you to be their best friend when they need something. All right? That's not what God desires of us. God wants a deep personal relationship with Him. He wants that friendship that we have with some of our best friends where we talk on a regular basis when we're going through difficulties. Who do we call? We call one of our best friends. Right? We don't call the Ghostbusters. We call our best friends. Who are you going to call? We should be calling Jesus, right? We should be calling the Lord. We should be seeking Him. God wants us to have that personal relationship with Him. Prayer must be constant. If we're going to grow, if we're going to see our life as John 5, or 15 there, 5 through 8, and the vine being with Him, it comes from constant prayer. Constant prayer needs to be an everyday part of our lives. Now, when we look at prayer in relationship to this spiritual battle that we're in, I think we can safely say that the second thing we need to know about prayer is this. Prayer must be intense. It must be intense. Okay, we're in a war here. All right? Wimpy prayers do not win wars. All right? Wimpy prayers do not win wars. Prayer demands our full concentration to be on God. We must pray with authority and with power, with His authority and with His power. But how do we pray with power and authority, knowing God will answer our prayers? Because that's how we should pray. We should pray with that intensity where we can trust and know that God's in control and that He will answer those prayers. How do we do that? I want to look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is what it says in 1 John 5, 14. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." So the question was, how do we pray with intensity and confidence? Three things right here in this scripture. Number one, we need to make sure we ask in accordance with God's will, right? We need to make sure that we're praying His will, not our will. How do we know His will? We ask Him. This is why it's that constant daily prayer is so important. When we're seeking Him, when we're praying to Him, when we seek and have that conversation with Him, He's able to tell us His will. You see, when we are in tune with God, we'll know His will and we'll be able to pray His will, not our will. The second thing here is we need to believe God hears our prayers and has already set the answers in motion. You see, God tells us in His Word to make our requests known. You see, if He didn't want to hear our prayers, He wouldn't ask us to pray to Him. But He said, make your requests known. I want to hear your heart. I want to hear your prayers. And if we're praying in accordance with His will, then we can know that He will bring it about. And we can pray with that confidence and trust and intensity that we need. Because we need to pray, the third thing here, tenaciously and persistently until His will is accomplished. You see, oftentimes when God doesn't respond as quickly as we would like, what do we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to kind of quit praying and maybe just assume that, well, I guess the answer was no. But I want to encourage you, if you're seeking God, if you believe that it's God's will, don't quit. The power of prayer is unleashed in those who persevere in the presence of God. Let me say that again. The power of prayer is unleashed in those who persevere in the presence of God. I want to share with you a little story I read online. It said, an elderly lady was once asked by a young man who had grown weary whether he ought to just give up. "I come up short every time," he said mournfully. "I feel like I should just quit." "Did you ever notice," she replied, smiling into the troubled face of the young man, "that when the Lord told the discouraged fishermen to cast their nets again, it was right in the same old spot where they had been fishing all night and had caught nothing." In the exact same spot. Think about it. If the disciples would have quit, if they wouldn't have thrown their nets that last time, they never would have experienced the miraculous catch that the Lord had for them. So often we quit too soon. We give up instead of praying persistently and trusting in God's will to be done and not giving up and trusting that God is bigger than anything that we come against. We can't be people who quit praying if we trust and believe, because here's what I believe. I believe God wants everyone to be healed, right? So if we pray for healing, we should never give up praying for healing. Now, we have to trust in the Lord's will. And there are some people, my Uncle Don, who just went to go be with the Lord. It was his time and God took him. But we can't be people that we know God's desire is to heal. God's desire is to mend marriages. God's desire is to create great relationships between parents and children. And so we can't stop praying these prayers because we know what God wants to do. God wants to bring healing. God wants to touch people's lives. God wants to restore marriages. And we have to pray and we can't stop praying. praying. We can't quit praying. We must continue to pray with intensity, trusting that the Lord hears our prayers and that He'll be faithful to come through. Prayer has to be constant. Prayer has to be intense. And the third thing is this. Prayer must be unselfish. It has to be unselfish. Verse 18 here again says, pray for all the saints. Doesn't say, pray for yourself and pray for what you need. No. It says, pray for all the saints. Often our prayers are too much about us, too much about what we want, about our needs. There's an old Jewish saying that says, let a man unite himself with the community in his prayers. Let a man unite himself with the community in his prayers. We need to learn to pray as much for others as we do for ourselves. I wonder how many of us are here in this room today because of the prayers of grandmas and grandpas, moms and dads that have faithfully been praying for us. Unselfish prayers of others interceding and standing in the gap for us, for our lives. Psalms 106:23 says, so he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the gap before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. Moses stood in the gap for these Israelites who had failed. God was ready to destroy them. And Moses stood in the gap for them. We are called to stand in the gap for others, to pray unselfishly for others. Many of you are familiar with Pastor Jack Hayford, a great man of God in ministry all around the world. But if you didn't know, he was a big part of our Four Square movement. Pastor in the Four Square movement for a long period of time, was a president of Four Square up until, about 3 years ago, as he gave up his presidency. Just getting old and moving on in life in some areas, but still ministering and loving people. But Pastor Jack Hayford wrote this. He said, unselfish intercession prevails beyond the otherwise destructive effects of human weakness and sin. Hear that for a moment. Listen to that. Unselfish intercession prevails beyond the otherwise destructive effects of human weakness and sin. Basically what he's saying there, if you have trouble, because I have trouble sometimes understanding what Pastor Jack says. But he's saying here, when we intercede and pray unselfishly, it can change lives. It can change communities. It can change nations. It can move mountains, like we talked about on that song. We serve an amazing God, and when we pray unselfishly and we pray His will to be done, amazing things can happen. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. How many of us are humbling ourselves and praying unselfishly for our nation? Everywhere you turn, people have something to complain about, whether it's about the president, whether it's about Congress, whether it's about this, whether it's about that. But what are we doing about it? Are we on our face praying for our president, praying for the Congress, praying for these people, the wicked people are here, or whoever they are, whatever bringing this wickedness through our land? Are we taking the time to get on our face and to pray and to seek the Lord? Because it says if we will humble ourselves, which means I'm no better than him because I failed just like that person does. I don't know if he realizes it or not, but we all fail and we all make mistakes. And if we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I know I couldn't do any better, but you can, and I seek you and I seek your will for my life, for this nation, for our community, whatever it may be. You see, the sad thing I'm realizing, and I don't know if this is part of the reason for the downfall of our nation in some areas, but the sad thing I'm realizing is that so many of our prayer warriors, and what I mean by that is our grandmas and grandpas and seasoned veterans of the church, they're slowly passing away. And who's taking their place? Who's carrying on their torch? I think There's a generation in there that something's been dropped. The torch, the baton has been dropped. And who's taking up that call to pray unselfishly for others, to pray for our country, to pray for our churches? You see, we need young people who are going to rise up and be people of prayer, praying for God's will to be done in their lives and in this world. Several years ago, the Lord challenged me in this area. He challenged me to be someone who prayed unselfishly. And it started after I kind of got tired of feeling bad when people would ask me to pray for them. You know, I've been a youth pastor for 15 years before I came here as a senior pastor. And even as a youth pastor, people would see me, you know, I'm a pastor in the church. And I'd have many different people say, "Hey, Pastor Darren, will you pray for me?" And they would give me, you know, what we were going through. I'm like, "Sure, yeah." And they would leave, and guess what? I would forget all about them, and I would never pray. And then I would feel really bad when they'd come back to me and say, "Oh, Pastor Darren, thank you for praying. God heard your prayers. God answered your prayers. God did something amazing." I'm sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, I don't have the heart to tell them that I totally forgot about them and I didn't pray. God just came through in spite of my failures. In spite of my failures, God came through." And so, having this happen several different times and feeling bad and praying about it, I decided to start a prayer journal. And so for the last several years, I have this prayer journal. It started with an actual journal. Now, because of technology today, I have it on my phone and I have it on my iPad and my computer, and they are all synced together. And if I put a prayer here, it goes to my other, and it's a great little tool. But I have this prayer journal, and so when people come up to me and say, "Hey, Darren, will you pray for me?" I say, "I will." A lot of times I'll pray right in that moment, but then I'll put it on my prayer journal. And now here's the thing. I try to pray every day through my prayer journal. I don't always, you know, it starts with my family at the top, my wife, my kids, and then my immediate family from there, you know, my sisters and brothers and parents and all that, and, you know, and then the church, and it kind of goes down, and then the other people, I work down. And sometimes, you know, I just get through my family or through whatever before I have to go. But I always look at all of them and I say, "Lord, you know what they need." And I just give them to you and pray. And this is something the Lord's really challenged me on, because I want to be someone who is a prayer warrior, who is taking up that torch of so many people ahead of me that have been people that pray faithfully again and again. And I want to be someone who faithfully prays as the Lord's called us to. I want to be someone whose prayers are constant, whose prayers are intense, and whose prayers are unselfish. Because I know that's what God's desiring of me, at least. And I think He desires that of all of us. I want to share a little story. Kind of a humorous story. It'll tell a little bit about who I am. Many of you know that my son's name is Toby, and everyone thinks that he's named after Toby Mac because I'm a huge follower of Toby Mac. Some of you are like, "Who's Toby Mac?" But he's a great Christian artist, has been a great Christian artist for several years. I started listening to Toby back when he was with DC Talk back in 1988. In my junior year of high school, I started listening to DC Talk and playing them in my car loud and having people at my church say I was a bad person because that rap music coming out of my car. But it was good Christian rap music, all right? And I've loved Toby Mac. Toby Mac, there's something about him. There's three guys that were in the band, DC Talk, but Toby kind of did everything. And there was something that I loved about Toby Mac. I loved his heart. I loved his desire. And he's always been someone that has been faithful. He could have gone out into the mainstream, and he even did with some of his music, but he never changed his lyrics. Everything is always about the Lord and about God in some way and has some direct correlation to Him. And so I just love Toby. And my son is not named after Toby. I like the name because of that. But Toby is named Toby because it means God is good, and the scripture is Matthew 5:16. So let's just put that to the side there. All right. But I love Toby Mac, and I have, since 1980, I've wanted to meet Toby Mac. I wanted to, you know, get to see him, talk to him, you know, be bros with him, you know, hang out with him. And so it was about 10 years ago, actually. It was 2002, just before I was about to leave up to Newburgh and start ministering up there. I was still down in Eugene. And I got this thing. We were planning on going to the DC Talk concert. It was a big concert in Salem at the Salem Armory. And coming up from Eugene, and I got this thing that was sent out to youth pastors saying a meet and greet time to meet Toby, Mike, and Kevin and hang out with them, ask them questions, be able to take pictures with them and kind of talk with them a little bit. I thought, I am so in. I'm going to do this. And it said you could bring one friend with you, you know, one guest with you. So my nephew was going to be going to the concert with us, so I brought my nephew, Chris, with me. And so we went up there, and now this was going on at the Rolling Hills Church in Lake Oswego, Oregon. And so we were up there at the church, and we were hanging out, and you know, it's the time that it's about time to start, and a bunch of youth pastors all in this room, and you know, it's the time that they're supposed to, you know, according to the thing, that they'll be here, and you know, it's 5 minutes later, and they're not here yet, and then all of a sudden, they decide to start doing youth games. You know, we're a bunch of youth pastors, and they start having us do those games that we make youth do. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's not what I came here for. I came here to see Toby, okay? Let's just cut out the games and let's get them here right now. And I told that to my nephew a few times. I'm like, I am not playing these stupid games, you know. And he's like, you make me play when I come to your youth group, you know. And I'm like, that's different. You're there to be there. I'm here to see Toby. That's what I'm here for. And so finally, about a half hour later, they arrive. And they then begin to tell us. They say, hey, we're really sorry. They were running late this morning. We're going to get an opportunity to kind of ask them some questions, but we're not going to get to do the meet and greet. Are you serious? That's the only reason I came. That's the only reason I'm here. So I'm thinking, oh, man. And so I thought, well, I told my nephew, I said, well, hey, when they're getting ready to leave, we're going to kind of get around and try to at least, you know, shake his hand or do something. So anyways, they finish their time and they start to head out. And we come around, we're trying to, and people crowd around. And Toby, I'm like, Toby, if I could just touch you. No, I'm just kidding. I won't even go there. But I'm just like wanting to say hi, shake his hand or anything. And I can't even get to him. And so I turn to my nephew and I was like, I wonder if they're going to stop anywhere when they leave out here. Maybe we should follow them. And I was kind of joking. And my nephew's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's follow their van, man. So I'm like, okay. So everyone else is crowding as they go out, and we take off the other way and run around in our car, and we get in our car, and I'm sitting in our car, and I see them get in their van, and I'm like, I can't believe we're doing this. We're going to follow them. And I was hoping that there was a store that they stopped at. They said they stopped on the way in, and I thought maybe they're thirsty again. Maybe they'll stop at that little store on the way out, and I can jump out and attack him in the van and, you know, hey, Toby, I followed you my whole life. I'm going to name my wife was pregnant this time. I'm going to name my boy after you, you know, whatever. Anyways, all these thoughts are going through my head. So we hop in the car, and we begin. So this is from Lake Oswego, and he doesn't stop at the store. Gets on 205 and starts going. And we just begin to follow, and all the way from Lake Oswego down here to Salem, you know, about 45 minutes it took as we get down. Actually, there's a little bit of traffic, too, so it was probably a little bit longer, closer to an hour. We're just following them, and I'm thinking, as they pull off on Salem, I'm thinking, oh, man, they're going to go straight to the armory. We're not going to get to see them, you know, and I'm talking to my nephew and just thinking, this stinks, you know. And I was supposed to go see my sister and brother-in-law in Newburgh, and we skipped out on them because of that, because we followed them down to Salem. And so all of a sudden, they turn in the red line there on Market Street. And my nephew's like, hey, they're turning in. Here's your chance, Uncle Darren. So they pull up, you know, to where, you know, in the hotel where you pull up. So I pull around in the parking lot, and I see them there. And I'm starting to get nervous now because I'm like, I'm a stalker now. I mean, I am. I followed him for like how long? I'm like thinking, oh my goodness, I'm like total stalker here. And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, come on, Uncle Darren, you've been wanting to see me your whole life. This is your chance. You got to do it now. And he literally got me all. So I'm like, yeah, let's go, man. And so we start to head in, and Michael, you know, one of the members, he comes actually walking right out towards us, coming to another vehicle. And I'm like, why couldn't that be Toby? And it's not Toby. And I walk in, and then I see in the van, Kevin's still in the van, and he's starting to get out, and I'm like, nobody else. Where'd Toby go? Where did he go? No way. So I go walking into the hotel there, and I'm like looking down the hall, and I'm like looking around and walking, and all of a sudden I come, you know, and the person at the front desk is like, excuse me, can I help you? Do you need something? And so I'm like, yeah, do you have a bathroom that I can use, you know, playing dumb, trying to not look like an idiot that's stalking someone that just came in their hotel? So I was like, he's like, oh yeah, right over there. And I didn't want to like not go to the bathroom after he just told me where it was. So I'm like, okay, fine, we'll go to the bathroom. I told my nephew, I said, all right, I kind of have to go to the bathroom. We'll go to the bathroom, and then we'll just come out and plant by the door here and wait for him. He's got to come out to the van sooner or later, right? So we go in. As we open up the door of the bathroom, I walk in, and there he is. There is Toby, and he's turning around from the stall, and I'm like, out loud, I say, oh my gosh, Chris, there he is. And he kind of looks at me, he's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, do you think I can get a picture with you? Here's what he says. This is exactly his words. He says, sure, but do you mind if I zip up first? And I'm like, yeah, sure, zip up. We can even go out of the bathroom. We can go out of the bathroom if you like. But I just would love to get a picture with you. And he's like, okay, sure, let me wash up and we'll go out. So anyways, we talked and we laughed about that whole little thing, and my nephew's telling him that, yeah, he's got a son, and or he's got his wife's pregnant, if it's a boy, he's going to name it Toby, you know. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm sure he's thinking the stalker freak is following me around here. But he was really cool. He talked to us, he asked us like what some of our favorite music of his was, and we talked for a little bit, took a picture with him, and my stuff is still packed away. I can't find some of my office stuff, otherwise I would have put the picture of us up there on the screen. But we took a picture, and I was so, and this is how bad I am, though. I was so like, oh, I didn't take a picture of my nephew with him. I felt so bad afterwards because I was just thinking about myself. But I got to see Toby. And it was this amazing moment in my time of like, what, 2 minutes of getting to sit there, talk with him, take a few pictures or whatever. But I got to see him. And I share this story for one reason, because it was really interesting. It was about a week later after this. And I don't remember if I was in church worshiping or if it was just my devotional time. But I was just praying and I was seeking the Lord, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and he just said, hey Darren, he said, you know the way you sought Toby last week, the way you sought him with everything you had, the way you followed and did everything you could do to be and see him, that's what I want you to do for me. That's what I want you to do with me. I want you to seek me in the same way that you sought out Toby. I want you to do all that you can, all that you have to do to find time every day to be in my presence in the same way that you found a way to be in his presence and to be with him. And the reality is so often we get caught up in the things of this world, in the busyness of life, and so many other things become more important to us than that time with the Lord, than seeking him. But we need to realize the most important thing in our lives is God and seeking him, spending time with him, praying and allowing his will to be our will. One of the scriptures that came to me was Matthew 6:33, and we all know it. It's the scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first God, seek first him, and all other things will be added unto you. And that's God's desire for our life. As we become people of prayer, that God's desire is that we seek him first, that everything is about our relationship with him. Prayer is a vital aspect to the spiritual battle that we're in. When I was in the Marines, I was a 2531 field radio operator. That was my MOS. Basically, I was a grunt with a radio on my back. Everyone else on my team of seven, when I was with recon, carried 40 pounds on their back. I carried 60 because I had a radio on top of it. I was basically a grunt with a radio. But being a field radio operator, I realized the importance of communication in a war. I realize the importance of communication in a battle. If you don't have radio communication, first off, you won't know your mission. You won't know what you're supposed to be doing. If you don't have radio communication, you won't know if the troops ahead of you are friendly or foe. No one wants to kill a friendly. If you don't have radio communication, you won't be able to call in support when you need it. Radio communication in the military plays a vital role in surviving in war. And prayer plays a vital role in surviving in the spiritual battle that we're in. If we can learn to be people whose prayers are constant, whose prayers are intense, and whose prayers are unselfish, then this is the cool thing. Not only will we survive in this war, we'll be victorious. And we'll experience the blessing and the freedom that God has for each and every one of us. We need to be people of prayer and learn what it means to pray in the way God calls us to pray. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. And Lord, I know even as a pastor, Lord, I don't pray enough. I don't think any of us pray enough, Lord. You always should be the first person we seek out. You always should be the first person we call out to every day, whether we're in need or not. Lord, we should be seeking you all the time, constantly seeking to be in your presence, constantly seeking to know you and your will and way for our lives, Lord. You've designed us, Lord, to have relationship with you, and that relationship comes from seeking you, from praying, from getting into your word, Lord, from allowing you to be a part of our lives. Teach us to be people of prayer, Lord. Teach us the importance of prayer in our lives. Lord, so often we're out there in the distance because we've chosen not to communicate in the way that we should communicate with you, Lord. Because we've chosen not to seek you in the way that we should seek you out, Lord. Lord, I jokingly titled this message, Stalking God. We shouldn't be stalking the Toby Max of this world or whoever we put on this pedestal and we seek after. We should be stalking you. We should be seeking you, Lord. With all of our heart and all of our desire, we should be seeking to be in your presence, to be with you, Lord, to grow in you. And if we do that, I really believe, Lord, that our prayers will be intense, Lord, that our prayers will be unselfish, because that's who you are. You are a God of intensity and power. You are a God that is so unselfish and cares so much for everybody, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like you, to seek more of you in our lives. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this amazing series that you've walked us through, the things that we've been learning each and every week. We just pray that you continue to challenge us and help us to grow, Lord, each and every day, those baby steps closer to you. We thank you and we praise you for these things. Go with us, Lord, as we walk out these doors, Lord. That's where the battle begins. As we leave out of this place, Lord, the opportunity to extend your kingdom is there. If we seek you and seek your will and way first, we thank you and we just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.